The amount of space was almost inconceivable, and Clark suddenly felt lightheaded, as if she were about to float away. She became vaguely aware of voices behind her and turned to see a few of the others emerge from the dropship. "It's beautiful," a dark-skinned girl whispered as she reached down to run her trembling hand along the shiny green blades of grass. A short, stocky boy took a few shaky steps forward. The gravitational pull on the colony was meant to mimic Earth's, but faced with the real thing, it was clear they hadn't gotten it quite right. "Everything's fine," the boy said, his voice a mixture of relief and confusion. "We could have come back ages ago." "You don't know that," the girl replied. "Just because we can breathe now doesn't mean the air isn't toxic." She twisted around to face him and held her wrist up, gesturing with her bracelet. "The council didn't give us these as jewelry. They want to see what happens to us." A smaller girl hovering next to the dropship whimpered as she pulled her jacket up over her mouth. "You can breathe normally," Clark told her, looking around to see if Talia had emerged yet. She wished she had something more reassuring to say, but there was no way to tell how much radiation was still in the atmosphere. All they could do was wait and hope. "We'll be back soon," her father said as he slipped his long arms into a suit jacket Clark had never seen before. He walked over to the couch where she was curled up with her tablet and ruffled her hair. "Don't stay out too late. They've been strict about curfew lately. Some trouble on Walden, I think." "I'm not going anywhere," Clark said, gesturing toward her bare feet and the surgical pants she wore to sleep. For the most famous scientist in the colony, her father's deductive reasoning left something to be desired. Although he spent so much time wrapped up in his research, it was unlikely he'd even know that scrubs weren't currently considered high fashion among 16-year-old girls. "Either way, it'd be best if you stayed out of the lab," he said with calculated carelessness, as if the thought had only just crossed his mind. In fact, he'd said this about 5 times a day since they'd moved into their new flat. The council had approved their request for a customized private laboratory, as her parents' new project required them to monitor experiments throughout the night. "I promise," Clark told them with exaggerated patience. "It's just that it's dangerous to get near the radioactive materials," her mother called out from where she stood in front of the mirror, fixing her hair, "especially without the proper equipment." Clark repeated her promise until they left, and she was finally able to return to her tablet, though she couldn't help wondering idly what Glass and her friends would say if they knew that Clark was spending Friday night working on an essay. Clark was normally indifferent toward her Earth Literature's tutorial, but this assignment had piqued her interest. Instead of another predictable paper on the changing view of nature in pre-cataclysmic poetry, their tutor had asked them to compare and contrast the vampire crazes in the 19th and 21st centuries.